Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. Today, as we look together at God's Word, we'll be having two readings. The first is Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, and the second is Psalm 127. So you can begin looking those up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word. I'll read the passage, and then it'll be over to Beck with the children's talk. So, if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then it'll be back to me for the sermon. And so let's pray. Our Maker and Redeemer, we thank you for giving your word. You are great and greatly to be praised. The angels cry out that you are holy. And we rejoice that we have your holy word, which speaks truth and life. It reveals our sin and gives us hope of redemption. Give us ears to hear and hearts to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. And now let's read from Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. There it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." And now, from Psalm 127. "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." And now it's over to Beck with the children's talk.
Hi everyone, it's Beck Walls here from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I'm here with two kids, Kai and Ellie, today. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
All right, now today we're going to talk about who is important. All right, so I have some pictures here, and we're going to sort our pictures into piles of people who are important and people who are not important. Okay? So here we go. Here is a very impressive businessman. He works in a big high-rise building. He's in charge of a whole lot of people. He earns a whole lot of money. Really, really impressive guy. Is he important?
Yes.
Yes.
He is. Okay, all right, we'll put him in the important pile then. Now, this lady here, who's she?
A gran.
She does look a bit like a gran. She is a gran.
Granny.
But this lady is the queen. She's not wearing her crown in this picture. But this is the queen of Australia, the queen of England. All right. She's in charge of a whole lot of countries and a whole lot of people. She's very powerful, she's very wealthy, very impressive, lives in a palace. Is she important, do you think?
Yes.
A lot.
Very important. All right, maybe we should put her at the top of the important list. All right, this guy here. This guy is a movie star. He's the guy who played the genie in Aladdin. His name's Will Smith. He earns a lot of money. People stop him down the street and ask him for his autograph. He goes into shops and people probably try and give him free stuff. Everyone wants to be his friend. Is he important?
Yes.
Yes. All right, put him in the important pile. Ah, this one. Who's this?
A dentist? A doctor.
A doctor. That's right, a doctor. This guy spends all day, every day, working at a hospital, saving people's lives.
He's important. Yeah, very important.
All right, beautiful.
Otherwise, people would have to die of any disease if they didn't have doctors.
Absolutely. He's important, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. All right, what about this person in the wheelchair? She looks like a little girl. She probably can't walk. She might not even be able to talk. She probably can't feed herself. There's not much to her, really. She doesn't do amazing things.
I think she's still important.
You think she's still important? Really? Why?
Everyone is important.
Very interesting idea, Kai. All right, what about these guys?
I think they're important.
They're important. These are kids in a third world country where they have hardly any clothes. They have hardly any food. They have not many people looking after them. They're often made to do horrible jobs that nobody else would want to do. Right? Nobody really cares about these kids. Important. Are they important?
Yes.
They are. Really?
Everyone.
Good. All right. What about this lady? She is very old. She's very sick. She's very, very frail. She's so weak that she can't even get out of bed. She can't wash herself in the shower. She can't feed herself. She can't do anything for herself. She takes up a lot of other people's time. She takes up a lot of other people's money. She's not that important, is she?
She's really important.
She is. Mm-hmm. So she goes in the important pile as well.
Yes.
Great. What about this person? Do you know who that is?
A baby.
It is. It's a baby. A picture of a baby when they're still in their mum's tummy. It's an ultrasound picture. All right. This is a baby who has never done anything impressive. This baby hasn't even spoken a word yet. This baby hasn't taken a breath. Even hasn't even breathed yet. Surely they're not important.
They are important.
Are you sure?
One day they will be able to.
Yeah, that's true. Why are all of these people, no matter what they've done, why are they all important?
Because God loves them.
Because God loves them? Why does God love them?
Because they trust in him, maybe. Because they were made in him image. Because he made them in his image.
Yeah, that is a great answer, Ellie.
Because he died upon the cross and he made.
Mostly because he made them, all right? He made them and they belong to him. He made them in his image. Right. Kai, can you read out this Bible verse for me?
Psalm 139, verse 13 to 14. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Beautiful. This verse is true of absolutely everybody who has ever lived or who has ever been in a mum's tummy. All right? This is true of absolutely everyone. And so even if somebody seems not very impressive in this life, even if somebody is really old or really sick or really poor or not even able to breathe yet because they still live in their mum's tummy, they are important and we need to love them and care for them and look after them because they are made by God in God's image. Let's pray that God would help us to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have made every one of us. Thank you that we are all important because we're made in your image. Father, please help us to look after those who you love and especially those who don't look very impressive in this life and who need us to help them. Help us to love them with the same love that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
There are some triggers that can make people extremely emotional. Sometimes it's a smell, a song, a place. These things trigger memories of people, events, joys and sorrows which fill our hearts with emotion. They can often take us by surprise, or they can be expected, but no matter how much we prepare ourselves, still the emotion can overpower us. I expect for some people, that's what this sermon will be. A trigger for great emotion as memories, regrets, pain, shame and guilt are brought to the surface. But through it all, I pray you'll keep listening. The Word of God is described as the sword of the Spirit. It cuts deep into us. It truly can hurt, but it's a sword that heals, which makes the wounded whole. It doesn't cause reckless damage, but like a scalpel, it seeks to expose what shouldn't be there so it can be removed. Some of you might be tempted to turn off when you hear what this sermon is about, but please don't. Though it wounds, let the Word of God bring healing. Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. On the 26th of May 1969, abortion was first legalised in Australia. So every year, on the closest Sunday to the 26th of May, different churches and organisations commemorate this day, seeking to bring the truth of God's word to this tragic reality and to bring the gospel of forgiveness and peace to those who have sinned in this way. Because there is healing. There is forgiveness. There is hope. Maybe you've had an abortion, or you've suffered through miscarriage, and this is especially emotional for you. Maybe you're considering an abortion, even now. Don't switch off. Hear God's word. You might be the man in the story. Don't switch off. Hear God's word. Or maybe you've never been touched by abortion, not that you know of at least. This is still a word for you. It's a word of truth, shaping our thoughts and attitudes. It's a word of grace, reminding us of our own sin and the forgiveness we've found. It's a word that produces compassion and humility, even as we mourn the tragedy and sin of abortion. What does God's word say to us? It says, and our main point today is, we must stand for the unborn. We must stand for the unborn. Why? because, as our first heading says, all life is valuable. All life is valuable, and you'd be hard-pressed to find that described more beautifully than Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that incredible? God's so intimately involved in our growth in the womb, it's poetically described as him knitting us together. The care, the precision. All life is valuable because all life is made by God. And yes, the Bible is clear that life begins at conception. God didn't knit the thing that would become you. He knit you together in the womb. In Psalm 51, David wasn't just sinful at birth, but at conception. It wasn't two blobs that fought in Rebekah's womb. It was Jacob and Esau. It wasn't a mass of cells that leaped for joy when it heard Mary's voice. It was John the Baptist, still growing inside Elizabeth. These were real children, even as they were in the womb. And here's the thing. We all know it. We know that inside the womb is a baby, and not just a clump of cells. Those who argue for abortion deny that, of course, but we know it instinctively. That's why when our friends and family are pregnant with a baby that they want, our society calls it a baby. When Serena Williams announced she was pregnant, the media didn't gush over the potential life within her, the clump of cells. They were gaga over her baby, like they were with Princess Catherine and Meghan Markle, and like they will be with the next celebrity who announces she's pregnant. We know instinctively that these are real children, not just potential life. Our instincts line up with Scripture. And it lines up with the science. Once you could make the claim that it's just a clump of cells, but not anymore. Think of the imaging we can do now. We're getting pictures of these babies rolling around, sucking their thumbs, drinking the amniotic fluid, getting hiccups. Preborn is a Christian organisation in America. They offer a free ultrasound to mothers thinking of having an abortion, and their stats say that 80% of the time, when that mother sees the ultrasound, she'll choose life. She can't deny it anymore. It's a baby inside her. All life is valuable. And the Bible proclaims, we instinctively know, and science agrees, that the unborn are alive from conception. It's a terrible hypocrisy that as a society, we've completely shut down to save lives from a disease sweeping through our world. And yet, we have some of the most liberal abortion laws in the world. We treat the lives of the people we can see as valuable, but not those we can't see. Not the most vulnerable of us. We have a government that prides itself on being so conservative when it comes to protecting Victoria from COVID-19. And I'm making no comment on the rightness or the wrongness of their position here. But I'm pointing out the hypocrisy of this government being so careful to protect the lives of people from this disease when we have these abortion laws. In 2008, the Victorian Parliament voted to legalise abortion. But they rejected an amendment to protect the life of a child born alive after an abortion. They'd let that baby die. They rejected an amendment to make sure the parent or guardian of a minor was informed of that minor getting an abortion. So parents might never even know that their 14-year-old had an abortion. Something that's been forgotten is Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Children are a blessing, not a problem to be disposed of. This might be hitting some raw nerves, but please keep listening. Before we hear grace, we must hear the truth about sin. Otherwise, grace means nothing until we appreciate the horror of our sin. We won't see our need for the kindness of God, and we won't care about the free gift of forgiveness he offers. We must stand for the unborn. All life is valuable, and we know it, even if our laws refuse to acknowledge it. And because all life is valuable, all life is to be protected. That's our second heading. All life is to be protected. But the tragedy is that so many in our world don't believe this is true. There are lives that are expendable. That's what our abortion laws say. But what does the Word of God say? It says in the sixth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 13, "You shall not murder." That might trouble you, that I've just called abortion murder. Maybe you're concerned for someone you know, that they'll feel even worse than they do now if they hear that abortion is murder. Maybe you're feeling that guilt, and you're bucking against it. But don't harden yourself to this reality. Don't reject the idea that this is a sin you must repent from. Because abortion is sin. It is murder, no matter what you've been told otherwise. You've been told that it's just a clump of cells. But even at its youngest stage, when it is just cells, it's a living baby, growing, developing. It has its own distinct DNA. It's not part of the mother's body. It's a unique person growing inside the mother. Can a woman do whatever she wants to her body? Does she have that right? Well, no one has the right to do whatever they want to their body. We're not allowed to put certain drugs into our body. We can wave our fists around as much as we want, but as soon as someone gets hit, that's assault. That's illegal. And it's the same thing here. Women, like men, don't have an absolute right to do whatever they want with their bodies. And one of the limitations is that we can't hurt other people with our bodies, which is exactly what abortion is. It's the deliberate killing of another person. God's word says no to that. Even if that other person is inside your womb, all life is to be protected. But you might be thinking, what if the baby is severely disabled? What if there'll be no quality of life for the baby or for me if I need to take care of it? What if I can't afford it? What if I have mental health issues and I don't think I can care for a baby? What if the baby's a product of rape? We could try and offer an answer to all of these very real, very tragic situations. But time would eat us up. But let me say to you generally, if this is your situation, there is hope. There is help. You might feel alone, but you don't have to. I'm very aware I'm speaking to more than just my church here. So let me say, go to your church. Seek help and support from them. There's support on offer from the government and other charities. But make sure you go to your church as well. Tell them what's going on. Tell them your struggles and fears. Proverbs 18 verse 24 says, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. God said in the garden, it is not good that the man should be alone. Don't despair that you're alone and make decisions because of that. Go to your church. Find help there. And if you don't have a church, let us help you at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian. We'll do all we can for you. We'll do this out of love for you and love for your child. All life is valuable. All life is to be protected. So we stand for the unborn and we'll stand with you. But maybe you've already made that tragic choice to have an abortion. You've sinned and you feel awful about it and nothing I've said has helped. You wish you'd had help. You already felt bad enough before I started calling abortion murder. But here's where the good news comes. Because there was a baby, born around 2,000 years ago, who can make all the difference. He was born, and he lived the perfect life. He lived the kind of life no one had ever lived before him, and no one has lived after him. He was God in the flesh, and he never sinned. But he died on the cross, bearing the punishment for sinners, taking their guilt and shame. If you've committed this sin, you don't need to wallow in guilt and shame. You can find forgiveness because Jesus paid the price for sin. All your sin can be taken from you and placed on him. And even though you might feel dirty, he washes you white as snow, and he makes you a child of God, and he will never abandon you, never forsake you. Come to him and find true life and forgiveness, hope and peace. In Luke 7, Jesus was having dinner with Simon the Pharisee, and in walked a woman called a sinner. Everyone knew who she was. Everyone knew what she'd done. She walked into the stairs and whispers. No doubt the blush was rising on her cheeks. Simon was thinking judgmental thoughts in his heart, but she'd come to Jesus, knowing he could bring cleansing. And what does Jesus say to Simon? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Come to Jesus in faith and find that same forgiveness and peace. But what about the rest of us who haven't been touched by this sin? What should we do? We should be compassionate, loving, welcoming. We should be people who stand by the truth, ready to say that something is sin, but at the same time get beside people and lovingly help them because we know that we're sinful too. I read the comment of a woman who was a counsellor at a Christian crisis pregnancy centre in America. And she said, you'd be surprised how often young girls come to us in significant distress because their Christian mothers were pressuring them to get an abortion. Why were they doing that? Maybe because they were scared of the judgment they'd receive from their church if they found out? We need to ruthlessly cut out the pride in us that would make us look down our nose at the single woman in our church who discovers she's pregnant. Yes, there's been sin, and that needs to be repented of. But are we ready to bear her burdens, to love and care for her? Are we so gentle, loving, and compassionate as a church that everyone else knows that they're safe with us? That if they confess their sin, not only is God faithful and just to forgive them because of the death of Jesus, like 1 John 1 verse 9 says, but we will be right there beside them. We won't condemn them, we'll be standing beside them. We must stand for the unborn. We must, because life is valuable. And so it's be protected, including unborn life. And that means caring for the pregnant teen who's grown up in the church without condemning her. It means providing practical support to those struggling with their children who are disabled. It means praying for laws to change, writing letters to the government so the unborn would be protected from legalized murder. Let's be active. Let's fight for the unborn, stand for them, all the while proclaiming the grace that can be found in Jesus, who willingly gave up his life so we could know eternal life, abundant life, forgiven and clean life. Let's never even think of looking down our noses at others, because we know our own sin. Instead, let's be beggars, showing other beggars where to find bread. Let's bring them to Jesus and bask in his grace to us as well, knowing we aren't any better than them. And let's pray. God of all mercy and compassion, we come to you with aching hearts, knowing there are many in our world, and potentially many who are listening, who have made the tragic and sinful choice to have an abortion. We pray they would feel in their hearts the sinfulness of this act, and that your Spirit would move them to repentance. May they come to you knowing that your throne is a throne of grace. You accept repentant sinners, and you cast our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Forgive them, we pray. For those who are struggling with the choice of abortion, we pray they would not, but would protect the life of their little one. We pray that we as your church would be welcoming to all who come across our path, that we wouldn't be judgmental, but loving, supportive, and caring. May we be a place of safety for them. And may you work in your mighty power that abortion would no longer be legal, that we as a culture would make every effort to protect life and stand with the unborn. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. This Thursday at 7:45 p.m. you can join me online, where I'll be running Christianity Explored. Christianity Explored is a 7-week course, completely free, which answers the big questions about Christianity by looking at Jesus, his life, his teaching, his death and resurrection. That's going to be on Zoom. If you're interested in Christianity Explored, or you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. God bless you.